be in Genesis chapter 28. God works all things for good. Amen. He really does. The more I live, the more I realize that the things we go through that we look like as a setback and just a hard time, and I tell you, God's going to use it, folks. God's going to use it. And it's just trusting Him through that. But nevertheless, we are going to pick back up tonight on the study of the life of Jacob. We got this week and another week, and then in February, we're going to be diving into our study on the DNA of relationships. Greatly looking forward to that. But tonight, I want to pick back up with spiritual growth in the life of Jacob. And so we're going to continue this tonight. And basically, we're talking about spiritual growth and growing God's way, because that is the way indeed we want to grow. God's way. God's plan. You know, if we had our choice, can we just all be honest tonight? If we had our choice in growing, I do not believe we would choose trials. I don't believe we would. I believe that if it was Brinson's way, things would just be laid back. You know, just sort of go with the flow and learn easy lessons, not hard lessons. But honestly, that's not God's way. God's way is a way that is perfect. As the psalmist would say, as for God, His way is perfect. And we have to trust that, because He knows exactly what we have need of, where we need strengthening, and where we need attention to be exactly who He wants us to be. So tonight, I want us to look at growing God's way. You know, in this book that the notes are derived from, The Fingerprints of Providence, David Atkinson, I don't know if we'll ever have Brother Atkinson here, if he'll ever be able to get here, but he was always one of my favorite preachers at Ambassador Baptist College. He would come for Bible conference many times. He pastored many years up in Dyer, Indiana. Now he's retired, and he's actually teaching part-time at Ambassador. But he wrote this book that I had on the mission field with me. It was a great blessing. And these are some notes that I've taken along the way in reading the book and put it in somewhat of an outline form here. But he made this quote here as we get right into the outline. He said, God is like a divine pharmacist, mixing not only the precise chemicals we need, but also mixing those chemicals in exact proportions to bring about the greatest long-term good. I do believe that. And we see that in the life of Jacob, don't we? Jacob started off just like all of us to a certain degree. We have to learn things the hard way. But God is a gracious God. He knows exactly the amount of pressure we need and the exact touch we need. And we'll see more about that even in Jacob's life, not tonight, when God did touch him in a miraculous fashion that truly changed his heart and changed his name too. But we see that we're going to continue looking at where Jacob is. Last week we talked about how it was the premature blessing, the premature inheritance. Jacob sort of taking things in his own hands. And we're going to leave off from there and move forward in the timeline of Jacob's life. And I want to just talk about some things that are needed in order for us to grow God's way. Number one, I want us to see that we must have simple obedience. That's your blank there, simple obedience. And that is, if you will look with me in chapter 28, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 here in just a moment. But remember, church, where we are. He has basically taken the blessing, and his mother, Rebecca, has said, boy, I'm paraphrasing here, of course, son, you need to get out of here. Your brother is going to kill you, and you need to leave. And you go to my brother's place. Your uncle, Haran, you go to him. He'll look after you. He'll help you out. You need to get there. And so that's what his mom said. And then she went to Isaac and basically said, Isaac, I'm concerned about Jacob. I don't want him sticking around here and marrying one of these Canaanite girls. And they were basically just ungodly pagans. And they were concerned about Jacob marrying the right woman. His parents were concerned about that. So they're saying, go. And that's where we pick up in verse 1. Notice where it says, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, listen to this. Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's thy mother's father, and take with thee a wife from hence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people." And so we see here that Isaac has sent Jacob, verse 5, and Isaac sent away Jacob. And what happened? He went. He went. We see some obedience there, just obeying his mom and dad and doing the next thing. And notice verse 7, it's even clearer. Verse 7 says, "And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram." And so we see that, and of course that was just not too far from where they were, but it was to the north of them, and that's where they were going to be sent, that's where he was going to be sent. Now, you say, what is the significance there? Well, I see there simple obedience. Think about this man. He's just made a mistake, yet he's moving forward. And that's the first thing you got to realize when you make a mistake, and when I make a mistake, own it, move forward. Amen? Own it, move forward. And we see him doing that. And I believe God's blessings are going to continue to be on him because of his determination not to stay in a form that we see, like the heart that he had. He's going to let God grow him. So we see simple obedience. But number two, I want us to see growing in the mundane. Growing in the mundane. Just going through life, I want us to see here what's going to happen. He leaves, and as he is traveling, you're going to notice there in verse number 10, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep." So he made himself a little campsite. He's just doing the next thing, and I can't imagine what's going through his mind, but this is just basically my observation. Number one, we do know his life is in danger. His life is in danger. I don't know that many of us have been in that place where we had a family member that was set out to kill us, and we knew about it. I don't know. But I want to tell you, I'm sure that could strike some fear very quickly. But here he is out there by himself. He sets up camp. His life is in danger, and he's fleeing to his uncle's land. And on the way, he sets up this camp, not knowing, now get this, not knowing what in the world was going to happen to his life. Now, one of the things that we need to understand as God is growing us, first of all, God does truly work miraculously in the mundane of everyday life. Everything you went through today, it was a miracle. I'm here to tell you from God. Because if we truly believe in the providence of God, another term we use for that is the hand of God. If you truly believe the hand of God is on your life, you believe in your life every day is a miracle. And what you got to realize and what I got to realize is that when God is growing me, it may seem like the old, here we go again, here we go again. But, and you may not know what's bringing tomorrow. You may be thinking today, oh my, I have no idea where we are today, what this is going to look like tomorrow. And I think that's probably some things Jacob was looking for. He doesn't really know a lot about the land there with his uncle. But he's being sent away. He's leaving mom and dad. He's leaving his brother. He's leaving everything he's known there. And he's going out to this land. But God's going to work in this situation. And David Atkinson made this quote, "The hand of God usually chooses to grow us in the midst, get this, of the most unexciting, undesirable, and depressing circumstances." That's where God will grow us the most. And the reason I believe he's wanting to do that is to stretch us even in our daily walk. That's why our daily walk is so important. It's not just looking for those high moments. If we're not careful, folks, at least in my own life, I look for the adrenaline or the special, the word's not coming to my mind, but the idea is just a monumental moment, if you will. Like, I'm looking for that special conference. I'm looking for that special meeting. I'm looking for that special so-and-so. Whatever the case may be, when knowing that what I need to realize is that God is working in my life just as much every day. Every day. In the little things. He wants me to live with an acute awareness of Himself. Every day. When I get up and read the Word of God, let God change me there. My daily walk, my daily relationships. God wants to work mightily in my daily relationships with God and with others. You know, I do believe that we grow the most when we put our focus on relationships. I do believe that. Our first relationship with God and then our relationship with others. If we make that the main thing in life, I want to tell you, God's going to grow us. And we will grow deeply rooted in Christ, because that is the first and the second. That's the two greatest commandments. Love God with all that we have and love our neighbors as ourself. And so as I see growing in the mundane, let God grow you through your daily relationships. You know where we get messed up? We get caught up in stuff. And like Jesus said there to his disciples in Luke 12:15, he said, "For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And one of the areas that that God will sometimes hit us at when we've gotten distracted is he'll touch. Let me just say this. I guess I can say it like this. He'll touch our stuff if we are distracted by it. But the fact of the matter is, the main thing of our life and God growing us the way He wants us to should be our relationships. Is that your priority today? Is that my priority? And let me just say this, if you have any relationships tonight that are broken for whatever reason, I just want to exhort you, if all possible, try to see those relationships reconciled. You want to work towards that. And God will grow you greatly in your humility and in my humility as we seek to do that. But then we see here that as Jacob were just to set up camp and God's just about to meet him there as he laid down his head on those rocks that he set up, God's going to change his life and God and Jacob's going to respond greatly. In fact, we see number three, we see that givers are growers. When God touches Jacob in this instance and meets with him and reveals himself to him through this dream, also we know identified as Jacob's ladder, we see that God has given him assurance that my hand is on you, I'm going to bless you, and you serve me. And this is what happens. As a result of that, look how Jacob responds. He, as he rose up in verse 18, early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon it. He anointed it, the top of it, and called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, I will give and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God." And notice verse 22, "And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Notice that verse there in verse 22. He says, "Whatever you give me, I'll give a tenth to you." There was an immediate response to God's blessing in his life to be a giver. God's people should be giving people, and it's not just monetarily that I'm speaking of here, but it just that we are, when we want God to grow us, we got to be giving of ourselves. Jacob wanted to give back. He wanted to give his income. He wanted to give of himself. And David Atkinson made this statement: when we find ourselves being disillusioned, disappointed, skeptical, or cynical, we need to find someone to serve or give to give of ourselves to. And so I believe that is true. We, a lot of times when we get in those modes, we're looking to be served, if you will. Okay. But if you let that mindset reverse and say, "Wait a minute, let me just set out on a blaze of a trail here and just serve some people and just be a blessing. No matter what somebody's doing to me," that's where you're going to see growth in your life spiritually. But where we see the growth shrink is when we have it reversed, when we're kind of living that entitlement mentality. But he made the quote here, love is not primarily a taker. Love is primarily a giver. He gave the illustration of the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. As we know, the reason the Dead Sea is because it does not have an out. It does not have a channel out. It's all going in and everything's dead. But the Sea of Galilee is so different. You go up to the Sea of Galilee. I've never been to Israel, but I've seen pictures and testimonies that it's just gorgeous. The green around it and the life around it, because it feeds in and feeds out. And he gave the illustration that that's how a Christian is. If we want to see growth in our life, we got to have an out. Where we're putting out, where we're serving others, and givers are growers. And so we do see that clearly. But then fourthly, I think a key in seeing our lives grow, as we do see in the life of Jacob, is we identify your weakness. Jacob's going to be brought face to face with his own weakness that he had truly demonstrated in his life with his brother and the deception that was there. Now, notice with me in chapter 29, verse 25. By this time, Jacob has made it and has met his uncle Laban. He has met, of course, Laban's daughter Rachel. He's kissed her. Of course, he showed his big muscles off by moving that stone out of the way of the well. He kind of showed off there, you know. But we're going to move on through that, and something's going to happen. He wants to marry Rachel. But something pretty interesting is going to happen here, to say the least. We notice in verse 25, it says here, "And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me?" Now, first of all, I don't know where the term rude awakening came, but I tend to suspect it might have come from this verse, because this was a rude awakening. This is not the woman I thought I was marrying. But what happens here is truly what we see in the realm of reaping what you sow, because what God did right here is God showed Jacob his own heart. He showed him his weakness. He was a deceiver, a supplanter. And God was dealing with that weakness because he knew that if he was going to accomplish what God wanted him to, God knew that if he was going to accomplish what he had set out for him, he was going to have to deal with this weakness, this character flaw, if you will. And by the way, let's just praise God right now for dealing with our character flaws. Hey, man, I'm glad God just doesn't leave us to ourselves, but he touches on it often. That's a character flaw. Oh, need to work on that. That's what he's doing right here. Through his father-in-law, he's going to reveal to him that there is his own self. And we see that we need to, and if we're going to see growth in our lives, we need to identify our weaknesses. And David Atkinson made this statement. He said, "A large part of spiritual growth is seeing yourself and not liking what you see." I believe there's a lot of truth to that. Now, as far as who God has made us, and like I talked about life on Sunday, that absolutely we need to be thankful for who God has made us. But what he's saying in the context is this. In other words, we need to come face to face with our own weaknesses and take ownership, not be satisfied with it. I believe God does this even in our own lives. I don't know about y'all. I think I've heard this, some others say this before, but I do believe the Lord does this even in my life. He does this through my own children. Have you guys ever looked at your child and said, "Oh my, that was so me. Am I alone there?" I mean, come on, y'all, get with me now. You don't see your child and say, "Ooh, he got that one from me." Come on now. Nothing but beauty and intellect is what they got from intelligence there from my sweet wife. But isn't that so true? God even shows us through our own children, and whether it be a character flaw or a struggle of rebellion there, I'm telling you, we do see our own hearts in their lives. Let's admit it tonight. And so what God will do many times, God is gracious in that because it's helped me. Now, there have been times where I have actually, it's had the wrong effect because I allowed it to. But if I'm going to allow God to work in my life, I just need to be open to the Lord just pointing out my character flaws, even if he has to use my own children to do it. Amen. And I do believe that Jacob is going to move forward because I don't believe he wanted to be content with that tendency to be deceitful. And I believe he's going to focus in on the root problems. And that's what I'm going to say moving on here. As you identify your weakness, just focus on the root problem, not the symptoms, and hone in on it. You know, focus on that. This is a weakness of mine. I'm not going to turn a blind eye to it. I'm going to let the Lord just open me up. And I want to improve in that area. Amen. That's what God wants each of us to do. And I believe Jacob's going to learn that. But number five in closing here. I want us to see that and as we grow in the Lord, grow and be an example. Grow and be an example. We'll find that he's going to do that in the way he responds to his father-in-law. As they both are deceivers and as they both are working through this process and of life. But we're going to see that verse 27, if you'll notice with me, chapter 30. Verse 27, as they are both shepherds and they both have flocks and they are working with them and they're working out a deal. All right. They're working out a deal on who will take what animals will be most profitable. And notice what happens here in verse number 27. It says, and Laban said unto him, Jacob, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. You see, it was even, as you read the whole story here in the account, Jacob's going to, even as you notice in their verses, Jacob's going to go on to choose those spotted cows. He's going to, as we know, the goats there, and as we see that as he chooses these different flocks, he's going to choose the ones that are speckled and spotted among the goats and the sheep, and we see here the livestock that he chooses shows deference there, deference. It shows a deference. It shows a spirituality there that there was some growth in here and in his life, and this man Laban is going to see that. And we need to understand that as we truly open ourselves up for growing God's way, it's going to be a wonderful example to those around us. It's going to be a blessing to those that are around us. I wrote this statement down. You don't need the best to be blessed. You see here the livestock and what was chosen. Jacob knew that God would bless him. He was following the Lord. God had promised a blessing, and he was just going to choose these. And what we see here is many times we can get this idea of, you know what, I have to have the best of everything to be the best. But you don't, and I don't. You don't even need to, and again, it goes back to that wrong mindset that we can find ourselves. Many times the devil will try to really get us into that little corner of saying, only if you had this scenario, you probably would be more spiritual. Only if you had this person's situation, or only if you didn't have this in your life, you probably would be more spiritual. And then we can truly get into the wrong rut on that. But what we need to do is just say, God, you have given me what I have now. And Lord, I do believe you can grow me perfectly well just the way I am right now and where I'm at in life. And Lord, I want you to do that. And God will work through your weaknesses. God will work through my weaknesses. And he will show himself mighty and strong. Notice what I put down in your quote there. Put down on your paper a quote from David Atkins. He said, God builds effectiveness and usefulness out of weakness, difficulty, and pain. Anybody have any of those tonight? I'm sure all of us can say you at least have one of those. But can I tell you? God's going to grow you mightily through it. He's growing you. He's growing me. And we're going to see next Wednesday how God's going to bring Jacob to the point where Jacob says, I'm not letting go lest you bless me.